Well, greetings this morning. We're privileged to gather together. At 8 o'clock, I was out clearing my driveway and watching the neighbors venture down our hill and turn into the neighbor's driveway for church. And some were walking and some were slipping, and one young man fell. But it's just interesting to see their anticipation to gather for church on a morning like this, and what a privilege to see your anticipation to gather for church here this morning. Thank you for making it out and making it a priority. Today's message, we will be continuing our journey through Ephesians, so that's our goal here this morning, to continue on. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be looking at the gifts. I know we've been thinking a lot about gifts in the church, and due to the ordination and things like that, but I'm going to trust the timing of everything that the Lord has something for us to learn again here this morning. Gifts of Christ. We'll start in verse 7 to verse 16. If I could have you stand with me, and we'll just read the scriptures here this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Thank you for standing with me. Let me just again lift up these scriptures to the Lord to have come and break this so that we could learn and grow by it. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we lift up this word to you. You, God, are the one that reigneth. And you, Lord, inspired Paul to write these words for the church at Ephesus. But here we are, Joy Christian Fellowship. Lord, what dost thou have to say to us? What is it that we need in 2025 and soon to be 2026 that we can be no more children and supplying all the needs that every joint supplies? Help us to know how to do that better in 2026. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I think I would like to sing the song, O Worship the Lord. It's song 33. I just invite you to sing that. Trevor, if you could lead that, I think that would be good. And I want you to just focus on, so here we're thinking about the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit and the gifts that Christ gave to the church. But I don't want us to lose focus that this is about the Lord. This is about Christ. This is about the Spirit. And so as we go down through here, we'll be looking at some of these things working out. But I want to set the precedent that it's the Lord, and we need to worship Him in this as we go through this. So, Trevor, could you lead that? So, as we go through this, let's worship Him. He is the giver of gifts. He is the giver of many good things. In verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, according to what I see here in the Scriptures, every one of us that believes in Christ has received a gift according to the measure that Christ felt it to be. Every soul that is equipped with the Holy Spirit has received a gift. That's every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God is so good. He is a benevolent God. He gives. He gives gifts. He gives temporal gifts. You know, God not only gives spiritual gifts, He gives those temporal gifts. If we think of the different temporal gifts in Genesis 1:29, He gave every herb bearing seed for us to enjoy. He gave the seed for the meat of an herb to enjoy, to eat. He gave temporal gifts. And then in Genesis 9:3, He gave every moving thing for meat. See, God is giving temporal gifts, and He gives that to all mankind. God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. God is giving us good things. God is giving the just and the unjust good things. But here in verse 7, I think this is more than just those temporal gifts. These are spiritual gifts. These are what the children of God receive, and it's a gift that Christ gives to all those that believe. And we'll look into that a little bit more. Next, I would like to look at verse 8 through 10. I feel like there's quite a bit of mystery in this whole thing of Him, where it says when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? I'm not sure that I quite understand all what's happening there. But this I do know, He led captivity captive. So He chose who's going to be captive. But in the same verse, He also gave gifts unto men. And so I don't know if it's referring to if He gave gifts to men in the heavens or when He descended. I'm not sure. To me, there's some mystery around that yet, and I'd be glad if other people have better understanding of what all's going on when He ascended, and then He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. I know what it's referring to. He went into the Hades and things like that, but how that correlates with the context of gifts. And so I wish I had a better understanding of what's going on in some of that. But if we can just understand, verse 7, it makes it very clear, he gave gifts unto men. And he gave, and in verse 8 it says, he gave gifts unto men. In Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, just back a chapter, he talks a little bit about when, in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So to me, that ascending and descending has, to me, it's part of that giving the authority to who? To Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, who is the head of this body. And so, to me, there, how I comfort myself with the mystery around verses 8, 9, and 10 is these things are in the spiritual world. And the only way we come to understand is by being connected with the Spirit and delving into that. Unfortunately, the Lord hasn't revealed that to me at greater measures. But I've also learned that if we keep being curious and we keep asking the Lord, he does reveal different things to us. So who knows what I might think about those verses in 5 years. So let's continue to be curious. But he is the head. And he took captive what wanted, that needs to be captive. He has all the power to do that. Hallelujah. And then he chooses to give gifts unto men. Verse 11. So here, now we're looking at the gifts that are described here. God gave spiritual gifts to men. So, this is not the only place that spiritual gifts are referred to. It is referred to in Romans chapter 12. It talks about gifts. It talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And 14, it talks about gifts there. And then also in 1 Peter, it also talks about, 1 Peter chapter 4, it talks about gifts there. So what are spiritual gifts? What are they? Do you have any thoughts? What are spiritual gifts? So, yeah, or right, okay. But what thank you. But what, for what purpose? Like, I mean, like, why? Why apostles? Why prophets? Why evangelists? Why pastors? So we need each other. Okay? Amen. Yep. Yep. And it's incredible. If we go back to Romans 4, I mean, Romans 12, it's in the same context of it's for the building up. It's for the loving of others. It's just, it's incredible how that Why are they here? It's to build us up. A definition of spiritual gifts from Tim Keller, after he was thinking about this for a long time, he came up with this definition. His definition of spiritual gifts are differing abilities given by the Holy Spirit to each believer to meet needs in such a way that creates a community of people who are growing into the fullness of the character of Jesus Christ. That was a lot. Let me read that again. His definition is spiritual gifts are differing abilities. So we're not going to all have the same, right? We're going to have differing gifts. What would a church be like if we were all pastors? Where would the prophecy come from? Where would the evangelist come from? Spiritual gifts are differing abilities given by the Holy Spirit to each believer to meet needs in such a way that it creates a community of people who are growing into the fullness of the character of Jesus Christ. Into what? Into what image? Into what culture? Bless you, Dan. But it's becoming the character of Jesus Christ. And when that is part of our community, when that is each gift working among us, there will be a Christ-like culture. So every one of us has received a gift. So if you're not in the pastoral role, or if you're not feeling like a prophet, or if you're not feeling like an evangelist, or if you're not feeling like a teacher, I just want to invite to you, what is your gift? And I long for us as a body to learn what those gifts are so that they can be used among us, so that we can become that community that creates a place where each one of us can be becoming more into the fullness of the likeness of Christ. So we all received a gift. And some of the gifts that are mentioned here in verse 11 is some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Some of the other ones that are mentioned as spiritual gifts would be one that works miracles, the gifts of healing. Another one would be governments, which refers to me like administrators. Another one that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians is tongues, and also another one is the gift of interpretation of tongues. So to me, that's the gifts that are, there are some of them, but I feel like there's still a whole lot more that aren't listed, like the gift of mercy. Is that a spiritual gift that God gives to mankind? I think so. I feel like God gives a, for what? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, one thing that Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14 about the tongues, there he said that's for the unbelievers. So that I found that interesting that it's very clearly stated. It says it this way, therefore, unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not to the believers, so not to the church, but to unbelievers who might be receptive to the gospel. So I found that very interesting. Spiritual gifts for the perfecting of the saints, but that one he put some clarification to. That's more for the unbelievers than it is for the perfecting of the saints. That's interesting. All right, so differing gifts that they're meant to build up. They're meant to build up the church. Have you ever wondered, So it seems to me like sometimes the spiritual gifts, they can be either not mentioned at all. You know, there are some people that don't want anything to do with spiritual gifts. Or another extreme or another one is that it's all about the gifts. I think if we fall into one or the other, I think what we're going to do is miss the perfecting of the saints. If we don't look at the spiritual gifts, if we don't learn how to recognize each other's individual gifts that we bring, I think we start losing out of the intent of the spiritual gift, which is to build up this body, which is to build the body of Christ. An extreme view might say, I don't want anything to do with the spiritual gifts, and I understand why they're reacting to that. But I tend to think that often what they're reacting to is that the spiritual gift has become more about the individual that possesses the spiritual gift or their personal agenda instead of what is it going to do to build this body? That's my take on it. And those that don't want to have anything to do with spiritual gifts, to me, I feel like they may be overreacting a little bit because the intent of spiritual gifts is to build the body of Christ. And so, if we want a strong body, we're going to have to somehow navigate what does that look like, how do we walk through it, and not fall off in either ditch. So, next, I would like to discover, how do we utilize the gifts among us? And I don't know that I have the answers. But this I do know, that I want this church, I want the saints at Joy Christian Fellowship to be perfected. I want the men and women here to be perfected. I want the members here at Joy Christian Fellowship to be edified. I want the members here to be in unity of the faith. I want them to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. I want them to become a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how do we utilize the gifts among us so that that could be accomplished, so that so that saints can be perfected. Lord, I need your help with this. I don't know how to accomplish this. But I believe that together and the Holy Spirit and His Word, we can learn how to do this. He has not left us alone. He has given us gifts. Last week He gave us a pastor. There are teachers here. There are evangelists here. Some of us were at Kensington yesterday. There are evangelists here. There are gifts of mercy here. There are prophets here. There are mercies. Lord, how do we utilize them? How do we discover them? How do we equip each one to bring that here? So if everyone was given a gift, if everyone has received a gift, according to verse 7, there shouldn't be any passive, unemployed Christians at church. If everyone has received a gift, there shouldn't be any passive or bench-warming Christians. Why? Because Jesus Christ has given us gifts to be used, to be exercised, to be helping the body become a healthy body. We had been through this already, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he talks about, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, the reason for spiritual gifts are differing abilities by the Holy Spirit to each believer to meet the needs of a local community for the growing into the fullness of the character of Jesus Christ. To understand your gift and to exercise your gift is to find your meaning of life, your mission in life. So may the Lord help us to know how to discover your gift that the Lord Jesus has given to you. Now, you might come to church just to mainly get input into your life. That's not what Christ intended when he gave gifts to men. Christ intended the gift to be an outflow, to be a giving away. Spiritual gifts are meant not for the individual, but to giving to the body for the perfecting of the saints. So I just want to challenge you, if you come for input, and that's the only reason you regularly come to Joy Christian Fellowship, there's more. Could we say there needs to be some perfecting? Or maybe you need to understand the knowledge of the Son of God. And maybe you need to come into a full measure of the stature of Christ. Christ left heaven and said, "I have not come down to the earth to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me." And if Christ has given you gifts, you need to be exercising them. Lord, help us to know how to do this. You are God's workmanship, I think it's very important that we learn and understand the gifts of the Spirit, so that, because I feel like if we don't, we end up with, like I said, passive Christians. So how do we utilize them? Lord, I need your help. I need you guys' help. How do we equip each other for a place to stand, for a place to be used? So, unfortunately, this is maybe some of why there's some hesitations with the gifts of the Spirit, and that is because the gifts of the Spirit have different roles. The gift of mercy is going to be very long-suffering, very gracious, very patient. And so to another one that has the gift of truth, the gift of prophecy, they're going to say, let's just be done with that. So there you have, and I think we're all aware of this tension. You have this and you have that. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one Lord. There's one baptism. There's one body. But within that body, you have this and you have that. And there's that tension. Who here enjoys tension like that? I know some are energized by it. Okay, yeah, sure. How many others? I only saw one hand. Who's energized by that kind of tension? Really? Come on. Are you sure you don't just like a good argument for argument's sake? I don't know. Sometimes I surprise myself. Sometimes I'm just like, no, let's all peace and gooey and gushy and happy, you know. I read this the other day, and I'm not sure that I'm totally convinced, but I'm starting to see a little bit what they're talking about. So in that tension, conflict promotes involvement. So without conflict, we are less involved. Controversy and conflict arising from opposing ideas and opinions promote a high level of involvement by members. This one's really far out. Never fear conflict. Conflict is the only way to intimacy. On-aired conflict goes into the parking lot or behind closed door. It becomes malicious compliance and results in artificial harmony, not deep community. Conflict isn't pleasant, but it's your necessary friend. Don't avoid it. Insist on it. Nah. Okay, now these aren't scripture. I don't know that Jesus is saying this, but I know Jesus is saying, I have gifted that brother with prophecy, and I have gifted that brother with mercy, or I have gifted that individual with this, and somehow there is tension around that. But somehow the Holy Spirit says this is all good for the unifying of our body. Lord, I need more answers. How do we get from here to intimacy? In the conflict, how do we get from here to here? Now, I've experienced it a little bit. You know, Janet and I, I'm a little strong-willed. And I think she'd be okay if I said she might even be more sometimes. But I've also experienced that when we can hear each other well, there's a greater intimacy. But it takes time. And I've also found that when I'm proud and I'm not humble, well, things just really go awry. And I know that they will here too. So, let's not avoid the tension. Let's be okay with it. I'm going to try to enjoy conflict. Some of you might enjoy it more. But that it's not about the conflict. It's beyond that, brothers and sisters. We go through this conflict because we want something that's over there. And what is it that's over there? Are you with me? What is it that I'm talking about? What is it that's beyond this conflict that is good and valuable for us to walk through this tension? What is it? Who's with me? If you're with me, say it. Okay, either I wasn't able to teach it well enough, or you're not sure with what I'm thinking. That's what we're after. We want a community where we are vulnerable with each other, where his gift is challenging mine, but moving me into a better human being. And it's in that that we become perfected. God knows all this stuff. And he puts it in writing, and he puts it in context. And he says, I'm going to give you gifts, and yeah, they might not always agree, but it's okay, because it's going to bring us together, and it's going to perfect us, and it's going to unite us, and we're going to become a strong thing because of the Holy Spirit working in us. So, I don't know if we should ask how do we minimize this tension, but I do know this, that pride within that tension is destructive and should not belong there. That is not what the Holy Spirit is suggesting. See, the Holy Spirit is humble. And so if we're going to have conflict, we must enter into that conflict with humility. Otherwise, we're going to do what? We're going to kill each other. Okay? We're going to hurt. We're going to bleed. So the only way that I see that the gifts of the Holy Spirit living out in this body in a healthy function is going to have to step out with humility. If it steps out in pride or self-agenda or your own self-ego, it's going to be destructive. Okay. And these words, I feel like, are coming from the Lord. I wasn't sitting there in my studies thinking about anybody in particular here. So please, it's the word of the Lord. He wants us to walk with these spiritual gifts in humility. Okay? I really appreciated what Stanley Sensnick said. All church disagreements could have been solved with humility. That's amazing. Lord, help me remember that the next time I have a conflict with my wife, to search my heart and see if I have a heart of humility or if I have my own agenda. Help us, Lord. So the next verse that I'd like to look at is unity, you know, till we all come into the unity. Spiritual gifts are different. I'm sorry. So the goal is intimacy. The goal is unity. The goal is perfect men being matured by other men's strength. See, I have weaknesses that I need you to help with. And so it's that moving towards perfection. Wow, I'm getting long-winded here. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up. Thank you. So we just talked about pride, and we don't want to be children tossed to and fro. I think I want to bring out this, that spiritual gifts are different than the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of a Spirit is more, from what I understand, is it's more about the attitude. Fruit of the Spirit is character. Fruit of the Spirit is who you are. The gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about, the spiritual gifts that we're talking about here, are more about the things that you do, the roles you live out. And like I said earlier, I think I described it earlier, but let me just say it again. If the fruit of the Spirit is not within your soul and you carry a spiritual gift without the fruit of the Spirit, to me, that's toxic. It's very dangerous. But when the fruit of the Spirit is carried in the context, when the spiritual gifts are carried in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, there's life, there's peace, and there's tension, but it's a healthy tension. There's a healthy conflict, and we sit and it's with that fruit of the Spirit that I'm quick to hear and slow to speak, and I'm kind and I'm loving, and so I want the spiritual gifts here, but I want them in the context of the fruit of the Spirit. Because we don't want that toxicity. Oh, that we will be no more tossed to and fro, that we will not be like little children, but we come into maturity. In all the contexts, or I should say, in all these places where the spiritual gifts were mentioned, I found that either before or after the spiritual gifts were mentioned, it was Paul made sure that it's in love. If we think about 1 Corinthians, he talks about 1 Corinthians 12. He talks a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. But then he spends a whole chapter on making sure that it's embraced in love and done with love. And then he goes on and talks about it. Same way here. Verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. And then towards the end of 16, again, it talks about it's in love. So, who here wants to see the gifts of the Spirit lived out? I do. But let's live that out in love. If it's not done in love, it becomes destructive, like I already shared. So, the works of God. Oh, worship God. Oh, worship Jesus. Oh, worship Christ. I'm sorry. Worship the Spirit. Why? Because these are one. They're all working for the unity of the body of Christ, that we do it in love and that the gifts be used. So my prayer that I want to leave with you is, oh, that we would learn how to use the gifts among us, and that we would wear those gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. Graces to you, and enjoy that conflict, but do it with humility. But remember, it's not about the conflict. It's that over there. So we can walk through this with grace so that we can get to the realm of unity and vulnerability and intimacy. God wants it. He wants to be known by us. He wants us to know each other. May God add his blessing. Thank you for your time and attention.